Amen. There are plenty of Sundays when I think that the anthem would serve very well as a sermon. The second portion of our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. The heading for this scripture reading says that Jesus is the way to the Father. And the scripture reading is in response to a question by Thomas about how we will know the way. Jesus replied to Thomas, saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please bow with me in prayer. God of grace and mercy, rid us from all distractions and busyness in our minds that would keep us from hearing your message for us this day. We pray in the name of your risen Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the truth of love. We're using the same scripture readings that Pastor Lou had selected for this morning, but the message will be a little bit different. The focus is the same as we focus on truth, and especially on the truth of love. Truth, for most of us, is not an ideology. It's a relationship, and it's a relationship based on love, the love that we share with God who created us, who redeemed us, and who saves us and sanctifies us throughout our lifetimes. So there are a couple of questions that we could ask about this. Where do we find the truth? Who is the truth? What is the truth? We heard those things this morning in our scripture readings. One of the places that most of us know we do not find the truth is in advertising. Throughout our lives, we've learned that if we were to believe everything that we hear or see on television, we would be living pretty much in Eden right now before the fall. But that's not the truth. That is the truth that someone wants us to hear so that we can act or believe the way they want us to act or believe, by buying certain products, by dressing certain ways. That is not the message of truth that Jesus has for us. It's not the message of truth that we hear throughout Scripture, old and new. We expect to hear the truth when we read Scripture. When we come to church and we see the actions that surround us by our congregations, by our pastors, by our leaders, that is what we are looking for. The truth that we are taught and the truth that we are then supposed to be displaying to the world at large. So Pastor Lou is teaching and preaching on his series of the I Am statements. You've already covered some of them. Let's see how many you remember. Anybody? The way?
Vine.
The vine? Sorry? Light? The door or the gate? Very good. The bread of life?
Shepherd.
The good shepherd? Very good. And as an Easter people? The resurrection. And the eighth one that is never included when we hear those seven is the one that I find very helpful when I'm trying to talk to people about Christ as our Savior. That eighth one from John chapter 8 is where the divinity of Jesus Christ is so well exemplified for us, because he says this: "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Not I was, not I have been, I am." Before he was born and known to us, he is our Savior. Knowing all of this to be truth and trusting it all to be truth, we go back through our scripture readings, not just the ones from today, but the ones that we have heard throughout our entire lives. The truth is divine love. It's forgiveness in the face of all of our hopelessness and our human frailty, our sinfulness. There is always divine love, mercy, and forgiveness. That is the truth. In the Gospel of Luke, when confronted by an opportunity, just as we heard today from Pilate, what is truth? That question to Jesus at the time was, is it law or is it love? And we know what Jesus' answer was. He boldly proclaimed that it is love. It is not law. It is love. And we have seen that saying over and over again, demonstrated by Christ throughout his ministry, and we hear about it in 1 Timothy, where we read that the desires of everyone to be saved is what God desires, that everyone should be saved and come to the knowledge through truth. Truth is defined by Merriam-Webster, if we were to look it up, as sincerity in action, character, and utterance. In today's readings from the Gospel, we read from John 18 first, where we heard that question from Pilate, what is truth? And then we went back to John 14 to hear Jesus say, I am the truth. Jesus is the truth. He is also the Word. He is how we get to the Father and to eternal life, through his teachings, through his example of love and forgiveness, through so many things that you have all heard throughout your entire lives. Words that we're hearing from our baptism forward. For as often as we are in church, or we are among members of our congregation or our faith communities, we hear these words. And it's up to us to be sure that those words are then exemplified. Are we, in fact, in action, in character, and in utterance, living a life of truth? As Christians, we believe that the stories and the lessons in the Bible are true. This is the foundation for our faith. It is based on what we read and what we know from here to be the word of truth. And there are a lot of very well-known scriptures that touch on this subject, and they're all in different contexts. So here's the challenge for us today. I don't believe that truth is subjective. I'm not sure how most of you feel about that. But if we were sitting in worship today with the disciples and the Jews of old, those Jews would be hearing that truth is subjective. They sat through these teachings of Jesus and said, well, that's not what we've been told all along. You're telling us something different. We were told that the truth is law. Now you're saying it's love. Which is it? And if we look back at some of those examples in Scripture, you will hear what some of those lessons are. Let's take a look at a couple of them, some of which you may know very well, others which may not be as familiar. From Psalm 119, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. We know that one. We know that in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, we hear these words, to sanctify them in truth, your word is truth. And even in the book of Ephesians, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you believed in him and were sealed in his word. In the book of James, in the Gospel of John, in the book of 1 John, we can continue to go on about these sayings that we have heard. The question is, are we living those sentences? Are we taking those words that we have heard from Scripture and embodying them in our lives today? Can people look to us and understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the gate or the door, the good shepherd, the vine? Do people see that in us? That's the truth. And there are people who will never cross these thresholds that will be looking to us for a word of truth. So our challenge, just as with those disciples, was how do you demonstrate your belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior so that others who may not have that truth yet will have it through you? This is why I said earlier, I don't believe it's just an ideology. There are a lot of things that people believe to be truth that we know not to be truth. The truth is truly a relationship and a person. In the person of our Lord and Savior, in the person of the one who was willing to be sacrificed so that our sins could be forgiven. How many of you have ever been asked, no need to show your hands, when you were saved? Most of us have heard that question at some point. Are you saved? And if so, when were you saved? I work with a young man who is, he belongs to a Pentecostal church, and he talks to me every day when we're down getting a cup of coffee about how I should not be reading the NRSV Bible, because only the New King James is the true Word of God. All the other translations are from men's interpretation of God's Word. And that the most of us that are having trouble in lives are doing so because we're celebrating pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter. Sometimes I'm speechless. I actually don't know what to say when he says things like that. But I don't want to challenge his beliefs publicly in front of other people, but I want to engage in the conversation with him. His question to me, when were you saved and when were you saved? He didn't like my answer, because my answer was at the crucifixion. We were all saved. Those of us who believe were saved at the crucifixion. That is the moment. We don't have to be saved again over and over throughout our lives. We were saved in that defining moment by Jesus Christ. Our challenge throughout our lives is to accept that gift, to live as if that gift is the truth in our hearts, in our character, in our words, in everything we share with people around us. Sometimes it's enough for us to just read a sentence in Scripture, but sometimes we need to read the whole story in context. We are used to hearing people say things like, that's the gospel truth. But we don't always know if what they're saying is, in fact, the gospel truth. Many years ago, there was a Frank and Ernest cartoon. I was going to bring it in for you, but it was really crinkly and old because it's from the newspaper. But it's a cartoon where Moses is holding up the two tablets for the Ten Commandments. And those two tablets are inscribed with only two words, behave yourself. And Moses says to God, I think we're going to need to go into a little bit more detail. So if we go into a little bit more detail now, and we remember these words, God will not do anything wicked based on truth. That's from the book of Job. The Almighty will not pervert justice. Teach me your ways, O Lord, from Psalm 86, that I may walk in your truth. We need the details, friends. It's not enough for us to just be living under a banner that says, behave yourself. That is a subjective instruction. We need to know very specifically, how are we supposed to behave ourselves? What may we do? What should we do? What kind of an example are we setting? Jesus is teaching us the truth. Jesus is the truth. And if you go back and do a little study on all those scriptures and look back for which ones mean the most to you, which ones speak to your heart, if you're trying to figure out what the truth is, that's what we need to do. We do it as a congregation, we do it as a church of faith, but we also do it as individuals. What does this mean to you? And how do the people in your life experience truth by knowing you? When we're interpreting scripture, as we all do, we're sometimes looking for the moral, sometimes there's a literal translation, sometimes it's a spiritual. And most of the time, for Jesus, it was in parables, the words that he thought people would understand. But it was never a subjective truth. When he was teaching these words, he said, "This is what you used to know. But now that I am here and you are following me, this is what you know. You used to know that truth was law, but now you know that truth is love." It's just not that black and white. Those 10 instructions on those 2 slabs of stone were not the be-all and the end-all of our instructions. All of our instructions are in here. And the instructions for people who never see this book are in how we live our lives. They're in our truth. And Jesus was forever being cited by other people as they tried to trip him up in his words of truth. But we know what his truths were. He redefined these truths for us throughout his ministry when he preached on the kingdom of God being of this earth, of this kingdom, already present to us but unseen. Not the kingdom of God that people were anticipating. He talked about God as a loving father, not just as a punishing, ultimate authority. And throughout his ministry, he fraternized with outsiders and with sinners, just as we are called to do, because we ourselves are outsiders and sinners, despite that sacrifice on the cross. In all of his dealings with people, everything that Jesus said, everything that he did, was truth. There was never a question, except from those who challenged him. And let's face it, sometimes those challenges came from his disciples. It was too new, too different, too radical for them to always believe. But they knew. Many years ago, I heard in a sermon, and I was never able to find the source to which I could attribute this, but the story was about a teacher who was passing out trigonometry exams. And just before the test was given to the students, the teacher said to them, "There are 2 tests for you to take today. One is on trigonometry, and the other is in honesty. I hope you pass both of them. But if you can only pass one, be sure it's the test in honesty, because you can go through life without trigonometry, but not without the truth." We should be continuing to rejoice in the truth as we know it in Jesus Christ. That quote comes right from this word right here. But we can also hear those words from 2 people who we know to speak the truth and who we trust. One of them is Thomas Aquinas, who says that as a matter of honor, one man owes it to another to always manifest the truth. And from Albert Schweitzer, "Let us rejoice in the truth wherever we find its lamp burning." Let's make sure that lamp is burning here, friends, on this side of the threshold and on the outside, so that everyone will see the light of truth as it comes to us through Jesus Christ. Amen.